All right, let's begin today. We'll read from the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews chapter 7. Where do I start from now? Where I'm going is 25, but as usual, I like to read in context. All right, from verse 23. It says, "And the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers, because they were prevented by death from continuing." That is the high priest. He said, "But he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently." "Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Please note that where I was going, I told you verse 25. It said, he is able to save to the uttermost. I like that expression from the King James. Why I prefer that one to forever is because it describes not just the length of time in which he's saving, but the dimension of salvation that he is able to execute. So he said he's able to save to the uttermost, all right, those who draw near to God through him. And the reason why he's able to do that is because he lives always to make intercession for them. Now, let's quickly go to the book of Genesis. There's something I want us to see there, the book of Genesis. This is our school of prayer. We need to get some things right about how to pray. The book of Genesis chapter 18. Now, you know the story here about how the Lord with two angels appeared in the house, were in the tent of Abraham, and Abraham asked them to come in, not knowing who they were. And then, after that, when he had entertained them and their talks and all of that, and they were about to leave, let's read from verse 16. "Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said," that's one of the three men, "the Lord turned and said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?'" I guess maybe he was thinking to himself, "Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, 'The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave.'" He said, verse 21, "Say, I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. While Abraham was standing before the Lord, and Abraham came near and said, "Wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 people who are in it? If far be it from thee to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account." And Abraham continues speaking. Let's not read everything. We know what's in there. Let's just get down to where he stopped. Let me continue from verse 30. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry." No, sorry. Let's go down to verse 32. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once." That is the last time I'm going to speak. "Suppose 10 are found there, and he said," that is the Lord, "I will not destroy it on account of the 10. And as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. There's one more scripture I want to read. A few more. I think there are two more that I want to read. The second one is from Daniel chapter 3, but there's one I want to read before that. Now, this one will be what happened in Kadesh Barnea, Numbers chapter 14. I wanted to quickly go there, the book of Numbers chapter 14. When we finish with these readings, then we will go ahead and teach on prayer, and then we pray, and then we leave. I just want to continue what we began last time, talking about that redemption matter, if you remember. At the Numbers chapter 14, yes. Again, this is a story we all know. I just want us to notice some things from there. Now, this was what happened when the people rebelled against God. And then this was after the 12 spies came, and the Lord was really angry. And then, that's verse 10, you see that the Lord appeared when the people were thinking about stoning the two people that said, we can take it, Joshua and Caleb. Then the Lord said to Moses from verse 11, how long will these people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? So that I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you, that is Moses, into a nation greater and mightier than they. But Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it. Now please notice it from here. The Egyptians will hear of it, for by thy strength thou didst bring up these people from their midst, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that thou, O Lord, art in the midst of the people, for thou, O Lord, art seen eye to eye, while thy cloud stands over them. And thou dost go before them in a pillar of cloud by day, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou dost slay these people as one man, then the nations who have heard of thy fame will say, because the Lord could not bring these people into the land which he promised them by oath, therefore he slaughtered them in the wilderness. But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as thou hast declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and the fourth generations. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of these people, according to the greatness of thy loving kindness, just as thou also hast forgiven these people from Egypt, even until now. Verse 20 is where I'm going. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. That's all I want to note there, but I'll just read to complete that portion. Let me read that verse 20 again. He said, I have pardoned them according to your word. Let's read the rest just for completeness. He said, and indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers. Let me just stop there. Now, what I want to bring out, like I said, that verse 20, is that where he said, I have pardoned according to your word. Now, please, I have read a lot of this. I told you there's one last scripture I would like to read, but because we have taken a bit of time, I don't want to read that. That's from Daniel chapter 9. When Daniel was praying, and the Lord sent an angel to come and be an answer to the prayer of Daniel. And when the angel came to Daniel, he told Daniel, from the first day you began to pray, your voice was heard, and God sent me to come and give an answer, all right, to you. He said, that's verse 23, I have come to tell you, he said, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. Now, let me go back to the first scripture we read, and I want us to just follow this from where we began last time, talking about praying for people, the matter of intercession. What I want to emphasize today is about the mercy that one can have. When you hear that somebody is abundant in mercy, in loving kindness, there's a spiritual principle behind that. I said to you before that spiritual things are in measures. All right? People are not on the same level with God. I just keep saying that. And the reason why I say it, it's not to discriminate one person from the other, but to encourage every one of God's children to walk closely with God, so that the angel will appear one day in your presence, you know, figuratively speaking now, and say, you are highly esteemed. That's what I want to bring out when I say that. I'm not trying to say that, look, all of you look at me. Oh my God, may I never talk that kind of nonsense. Is that all right? I don't get carried away. A lot of people actually feel like that even if they don't say it. A lot of ministers unconsciously think that as a minister, they are superior to other people. You think your prayer is more effectual than the prayer of the other people. It's not true. Please, I like to say that all the time. We are all priests unto God as children of God. That's something about the New Testament that is different from the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, you have the tribe of Levi, all right, in which the people were appointed as priests unto God. Then the rest of the nation were not priests. They had to go to those prophets and to those priests to offer their sacrifices. But the new covenant is not at all like that. Please, do you understand my point? When it comes to priesthood, the Bible says that he has made all of us priests and kings unto himself. Every child of God is a priest. Every child of God has the ability. Now, the unique thing about the priest is that he can approach the temple of God. He can approach God with a sacrifice. Do you understand? An average Israelite then couldn't do that. He had to go through a priest to approach the temple of God. The priest had to perform certain, you know, motions on his behalf before he could approach onto the presence of God. But in the new covenant, it's not so. The Bible says that when Jesus died, you remember that the veil that separated the holiest of all from the rest of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. It didn't come from below, so that you know it's not a man that tore it. It was God himself that put an end to that system so as to bring out a new order, all right? And in that order, every one of God's children can enter into his presence. This is very important. Therefore, you don't need to pass through somebody. It is good we learn to pray with one another. You understand my point? That is, you know, somebody, you go and me say, please pray with me. And then the Bible says that if two of you shall agree as touching anything, it's that power of agreement that you're activating. It is not the superiority necessarily of somebody who claims to be a man of God. Do you understand my point? Because what I am doing right now, as different from those of you who are sitting there, is that I am performing the function of a teacher. That's not a priestly office. Necessarily. Do you understand my point? It's an anointing to teach. That's what I am doing. And it's not because I am more important than you are in God's presence. It is because I have an anointing that God has placed upon me to bless his people. You have an anointing that God has placed upon you to bless people also. And it does not have to be the anointing of a pastor teacher. Do you get my point? There are different anointings. Now, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that we are all priests before God and we can approach unto God. All right, it is not Christianity for you to think that somebody is more special, all right, but because of maybe he's a priest, he's a minister, and you are not. When it comes to approaching God, we all can approach God. Now, let me get back to what I was saying. The difference, all right, from one person to the other now is how closely the person walks personally with God. Are you getting my point? That each person has the ability, you know, I like something Charles Carp said many years ago when I listened to him. He said that one day he was praying. I noticed that the Bible talked about John. That's John. I don't know why I just assumed he was one of the youngest of the apostles there. I don't know. That was just my opinion. Just now I'm thinking about that. I may not be correct, actually. The Bible never said so. That he used to rest his head on the breast of Jesus Christ. That is, he used to lean very close to him. He said one day he was praying and he asked the Lord, that, how come? What was the reason why you allowed John to do that and other people did not? And he said the Holy Spirit told him simply, no, it was only John that wanted to do it. The rest were not interested. That is all. It wasn't even because I chose it specially. And it's a scripture for that. He said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's the way it is. The gap between you and God is dictated by you, not by him. So I want to emphasize that every child of God has a door. Every child of God has a door open before him by which he can walk closely with God, all right, and be special before God. That one is very, very, very important. The problem most of the times is that we personally refuse that. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah, we do. We personally refuse that idea of walking closely with God. What we would rather do is that, okay, is have somebody else walk closely with God, and then, you know, like I said last time, we'll not go and hide. I say, our Father in the Lord, without him, we are nothing. You know, that's all Pentecostal jargon, rubbish, nonsense. It doesn't have any meaning. Do you understand my point? A lot of that is a sign of laziness. We are not interested in being serious before God. So we want somebody else to do the praying. We want somebody else to do the believing God. We want somebody else to obey God, and God will bless him so much that the rest of us cannot go and hide and say, okay, oh, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Banky. All right, so say, which church do you go to? He say, I don't care about the church you go to. Banky is my pastor, you know, that kind of thing. What they are saying, in effect, is that, look, there's a special anointing upon my head. I don't rubbish. If you don't be anybody who listens to the word I'm teaching, all right, receives the same anointing that's in the word, not the one that's upon me. Do you get my point? It's the word that is really anointed. Please, I hope I'm explaining this thing properly so I don't make a mistake concerning it. What I'm trying to emphasize is that each one of us, all right, can walk closely with God. And what I keep on emphasizing, the fact that we are different, right, that we're not on the same level, so that you will try and increase your level. It's not as if you have been condemned to one low level. You get my point? No, there are people think, I've heard preachers say it. No, they make you look as if, you know, the rest of you, nothing for you. Without me, you can do anything. You can't do anything. It's not true. Is that okay? Why I preach what I preach is so as to encourage the people of God to please rise up and don't be content with being low down. Do you understand my point? You know, and you really can't measure yourself. What you can do is to constantly increase. Do you understand what I mean? That's all you can do. You can't say, which level am I on now? No. What you can do is that you constantly increase. And God gives you the experiences of life. All right. First of all, He gives you the instruction of the word and then the experiences of life to test your obedience to that word. And it's as you pass each test of life that you become more important before God. Let me give Abraham as an example. God called him and wanted to bless him. And he said, look, the reason why I've called is because I want to take you somewhere. Let me just say this to us. I don't know. I'm digressing from my message, but you'll be blessed by this. See, God calls a lot of people. All right? And a lot of people, that's why you have to be careful when you're following people to follow the word of God. God called Abraham, say, I want to bless you. And he anointed, figuratively speaking, now Abraham with some blessings. And Abraham began to follow him. Like, what I want to bring out here is this. Many people started like Abraham, began to follow. There was a day that Paul wrote concerning Demas. He said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. It is possible for somebody to start out and then depart. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. So there are those who started out with God. There are the Abrahams that left. They are along the way. Now listen to this. They stopped. But we followed their blessing. Took examples from their lives. But we didn't realize when they stopped. So God said, okay, follow me up to this level. Along the line, God makes some demands. And what do I mean by they stop? A time will come in which you and Lot will quarrel. And God will say, let Lot have everything. And he said, I don't agree. That's a stopping. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? A time will come in which he says, sacrifice Isaac. And he said, God, I don't try. 25 years, I follow you. I wait for this guy. You don't come now. So now you won't chop now. Eh? He said, God, I'm not angry with you. I'm just tired. You know that kind of thing. I'm just tired. And then those who don't know, who saw the miracle in the life of Abraham. Do you understand my point? From the beginning up to that time, they won't know that he has refused to sacrifice his Isaac. And they'll be testifying about the Isaac that refused to be sacrificed. And they won't know that Ichabod, the glory, has departed. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's why it's very important. In life, only one standard you must have in your life. And that's the word of God. Well, just let me just summarize like this. Looking unto Jesus. Having taken all the examples from Hebrews chapter 11. In chapter 12, it says, focus on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith. You know the meaning of that? The person who began, he followed God with a call, and he finished every aspect of the call that God had upon his life and made no mistakes along the line. Do you understand that point? All right, please, I want to just drill that one into our heart. See, so why I told the story of Abraham is that the closeness that Abraham with God was different as time was passing. And I'll prove that to you. When I'm going to study, that's not our main message for today. A point came in which Abraham, God called him and said, go and sacrifice Isaac. And please, let me say this to you again. No matter how closely you have worked with God and you have been blessed, all right? God is not through with you yet. Did I hear an amen? Listen, He's not through with you yet. He will still make, crucial demands of you. 25 years, Abraham followed God. And God blessed him with Isaac. Isaac grew up and became a young man. And then God made a demand and said, give me this Isaac. What am I going to explain? You would have thought that for a man that age who has struggled and strived in life, God should at least leave him alone, let him have some peace. But God said, no, there is still a level I want to take you to in life. Are you getting my point? Don't ever settle. You know, don't ever settle. I was telling somebody, discussing my office today. I said, look, you've heard me say several times, I can't promise you I'll be in Enugu in 5 years. You know, I have no plans. You understand what I'm saying? It's not as if I have any plan. But I always say, the year before I came to Enugu, I didn't know I was coming to Enugu. Therefore, how can I swear? Maybe you don't understand the way my life has been. It has not been because somebody planned and planned and planned and structured. One thing I know, Like Paul would say, none of these things move me, neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. Why? Because I want to fulfill the course or the call of the God who called me, all right, in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm trying to do. So because of the kind of life, you know, just look at my life a bit, I know that it's possible that having exhausted, you know, some delivery of the word of God, I say, fine, you have poured it into a no good. Now let's go. It is possible. Do you understand my point? That's why a child of God, there's no point of resting. Literally, this world is not your home. You know, it's not your home. You can't say, I will build a big house here and live here. You can finish that house. God said, beautiful house. You know, you asked me for a house. I say, yes, sir. And I gave you a big house. Yes, sir. Now, can we go? Say, Lord, you just gave me a house. He said, what's wrong with you? Did you not read the story of Peter? He gave me a boat. And then I harvested plenty of fish for him. After that, what did I tell him? Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. At least forget the fish. Let's go and do more serious things. No, God can do that. You can pray and fast and intercede and pray and sacrifice and do anything. Prophesy. Finally, the whole house comes. They value it. Say, 160 million naira. The choicest part of Enugu, say, praise God. Faith works. God say, very fine. I will call you tomorrow morning. Somebody is going to offer you to pay you 175 million naira for the house. You will sell. Are you getting my point? And as soon as you collect the money, you will share it. And I don't want, I'll give you, okay, take 5 million, buy a nice car that you will use to drive yourself out of this area. I'm saying you will sell the house, take the money, and it's set, no, I'm telling you, different churches, different ministries, different charity homes, different mothers, they will just be receiving checks. They won't know what is going on. And people will be rejoicing all the while you are crying, saying, my God, my house. You are sending checks, and you are dropping here. Yeah? You are sending money everywhere. Because how much remains? Say 5.5. Say 5.5. The 500,000 on top, uncle. Whose own is it? I was thinking that. There's nothing, you know. Yeah, one more check. The rest, write it. Go and give it to, go and buy one small Kia bus down the road. Park your wife, your children, your load, begin drive. Where am I going? I don't know yet myself. Just start moving. Now, what am I, no, really, that's how God does it. All right, so in life, I'm challenging you as a believer. Don't ever think you get to a point in which you rest. The day you get to that point, give yourself some time. Let me tell you the truth. You want to hear? You start falling sick shortly after. No, I'm not joking about that. You start falling sick shortly after. Over the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, you will die. I'm not serious. I'm not joking about that. I'm very, very serious. Very, very serious. The day you look and say, this ministry is now big. Praise God. Now I can rest. The tithes and offerings are very plenty. As a pastor, I paid a very good salary. We can keep increasing. You now cross your leg, ordain ministers around yourself. And you're now the bishop, resident bishop. You're not planning to go anywhere. Next thing, you start coughing. They say, what happened? They say, in Jesus' name, by the stripes, I'm healed. God said, I know. I'm not doubting it. He say, you're becoming useless. Next thing, you go and see doctor. You now find, they'll find one tiny, small spot hiding somewhere in the lungs. God said, you know the rate by which it will spread is the degree of disobedience and restlessness in your soul in this place. And when the man, you all die for nothing. Why did he die? He said, there was a day he rested and said, now I have done everything I planned. Now, that's, I give preachers an example, but listen to me, the same thing with a businessman. Do you understand my point? The same thing with a teacher, the same thing with a politician, the same thing with any time you think that, yes, now we can rest. God said, enough. I have no use for you anymore on this earth. Do you understand my point? I know there was something that somebody said about Wesley, John Wesley. He said that the man at the age of, I think, 75 or 80 something, that he wrote in his diary that laziness is beginning to creep in. Are you getting that? There's an increasing tendency to stay in bed beyond 5 a.m. That's a 70 something year old man. That I think I'm becoming lazy. I tend to stay in bed now beyond 5 a.m. in the morning. And then he wrote another protest in his diary that the doctor has refused me preaching more than 20 times a week. At that time, I was about 80 years of age. That which kind of wahala is this one? No, the doctor said I couldn't preach more than 14 times in a week. He said, what kind of trouble is this one? How can I not preach more than 14 times a week? The doctor says, for his health's sake, that you're an old man now. And that was an old man. I think it was about 80-something, between 75 and 80-something, that time, that was making those notes. What I'm trying to explain there, just by the way. So you see, we Christians, we're very, very careful that we don't think we get to a point in time, all right? That's why that stupid gospel that's supposed to be humility, but it's nothing but, you know, You know what I mean? Worldliness, yes. That's a good word. It's supposed to be humility. That what more is are you looking for in life? Once you have enough money to take care of your children, then, listen, I've discovered it again today. I was meditating today, I realized that God said simply, having food and raiment, let us be content. You get my point? That is true. Because wealth and riches, really, you cannot really, 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 really quantify it. So that's why you keep on wanting more. But I'm bringing out something. People now say that, hey, let's just, once you have enough. When they say that, what they are saying is that, now I have a steady job. I've made some investment. Money is coming regularly. I can now relax. If you get there, you start becoming poor instantly. That's how God has done your life as a child of God. Whatever you are doing in life, see, it's not about money. Are you getting my point? It's about influence. It's about increase. It's about fruitfulness. It's about multiplication. You must get that point as a child of God. Do you understand? You don't say that, hey, now I have a big shop. All you're thinking of is that the money coming is enough to educate 5 children to university. And then you stop there. If you really are a positive influence to society, you must not stop there. The reason why you are eager to stop is because you did not come out to influence the society. You came out to beg for food. And one of the messages I want to preach to this generation, all right, is that people should stop worrying about food. That was what Jesus said. We must stop worrying about food. Very, very important. But please, let me sit on my message. I'm digressing plenty. All right, so what I was saying is, you see Abraham, all right, he never, the degree of work he had with God, all right, kept on increasing. Do you get my point? So the point at which he let Lot go with all and choosing the good area, there was a degree of closeness he had with God. And then after a long time, one day, God now called him. Now listen, says sacrifice Isaac. As soon as he sacrificed Isaac, what happened? God jumped up and said, now I swear. Are you getting my point? That in blessing, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Now, get me. That was a promise he gave him at the beginning. How come it is now he's swearing on that promise? Because that was the point at which Abraham had demonstrated the amount of faith with which he was walking with God. And it's without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please him. And since faith is also in measures, as great as your faith is, all right? Now, since faith is also in measures, the greatness of your faith, all right, describes the amount of pleasing, all right, that you are to God. You get what I'm saying? How much you are pleasing to him. Please, get what I'm saying? Now, my message today, this is where it's going. So as you walk closely with God, you become more important before God. And let me say this to you. There is a principle in the scriptures. Hear it and imbibe it as a child of God. God so believes that you are a blessed person that he's not interested in blessing you for your own sake. He's interested in blessing you so that you might be a blessing. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? God's purpose for your life is not so that you will be blessed, but that you will be what? A blessing. And listen, God will give opportunities to you every day by which you will not only be blessed, but you will be a blessing. Always take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of faith that you are saying to God that, yes, it's not just me, all right? I realize that I'm an instrument of blessing. I'm saying something here. So even when it comes to something like being highly esteemed before God, when you have come up to that particular level, you know what God is doing with it? I said that last time. I'm just developing what I said then. What God is doing with it, that you have become his instrument on the earth through whom he will show mercy to other people. Did you hear what I said? You have become what? His instrument on the earth through whom he will show mercy to other people. I made an allusion to something a few minutes ago about Peter and his fish. When God gave Peter that amount of fish, after that, as soon as Peter looked at the fish, he saw prosperity. You understand what I'm saying? That showed him what God could do. He knelt before Jesus and said, Okwari, I'm a sinful man. What are you doing? You know the rest of the story. As soon as he finished, Jesus said to him, follow me. Abandon your fish, abandon your boat, abandon your net, and then I will make you what? A fisher of men. Now, what am I saying there? God poured a blessing upon Peter and did not even allow Peter to settle down to enjoy it. You follow my point? No, listen, I'm coming to something. The reason why God blesses you is not, you know, I said this so many times, it's not so that you can chop and be happy and be full. Those things are basic. Jesus said it clearly. Don't seek after them. The reason why God blesses you, now we're talking about closeness to God, That's actually what the Bible calls righteousness. All right? The reason why God imparts that degree of righteousness into your life is not so that you can go and brag and say, I am a righteous person, but so that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man can avail even much more than it was availing before. Are you getting my point? Now, I read those scriptures, all those ones that we read about Moses in Numbers chapter 13. You know, as I was emphasizing something from verse 20, can you remember that? That he said, I have pardoned according to your word. Now, this is a mistake we used to make. At least, that's how I was taught as a young believer. People didn't understand well. They say, the Bible says, argue your case before God. So we thought that Moses, because of those arguments, persuaded God. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That he said, God, if you kill them, you will disgrace yourself. Because are you serious? Ah, you don't know. Newspapers will carry it. The God who cannot save to the limit, he can only save pathway. Because my name goes spoil. Ah, you don't know before. Ah, so what do you think? Ah, no, let's not kill them. Let's not kill them. Because if we kill them now your name goes spoil. Now, that was how we thought about it. All right? So we learned to pray some very funny prayers. In fact, I remember one brother praying. I wasn't there. My friend reported it. You know, in University of Benin, we had our sports complex. A lot of prayer was done there. Brethren used to crowd there at night. And it was a good place because there are brethren that could only pray while they were jogging. So they go around the tracks. And I mean, we had some brethren, all right? They could pray the whole night, all right? They tried. I never could do that, really. That's alone. No. I don't know. I just couldn't do it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but those guys, they really try. But there's some brothers, they know they pray until everybody don't finish. So, because around 12 midnight, 1 a.m., the place begins to get empty. That's when they arrive. And then, as we are walking down to the hostel, you'll be hearing Baba Stivo's voice, you know, from far in the complex there. Anyway, one of those days, my friend was there. And one brother was praying in the tennis court there. And it was exam time. And he was praying for brethren concerning exam. And he was explaining to God why it is important that brethren should pass. He said, if they do very well and they are standing, then people will say, you see, that is a child of God, right? That's a child of God. So God, you see, we are going to do a strategy for popularizing you on this campus. What we will do is we will make sure that... Really, we thought that was how to pray. Because we looked at the arguments of Moses. Let me tell you the truth. This is where I'm going. It's not true. It's not true. Listen, the God who said that I will kill all of them, you think he did not know that people go vex? Vex now, and vex. Like I always say, after you don't vex, what's going to happen? After a while, you go cool down. He remains God. Do you know why he didn't kill them? Should I give the reason? The reason why he didn't kill them? It's simple. He said, I have pardoned. He said to Moses, according to your word. That the only reason why they are not there is because Moses said no. That's all. It's not the argument. So people will think that just go and argue your case before God. So you're going to read like 15 scriptures and say, God, I don't catch you today. I don't corner you. I'm the senior advocate of the church. You know? All right? You start using arguments. But the point I'm making here is this. It's not those arguments. It is the person making the arguments. Are you getting my point? Aaron could have come and said, God, don't kill them. You know, the people will say, Aaron will be the first to go. Say, you were built calf last time. Behead the guy for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, it wasn't the argument. It was the person talking. That's what I want to bring out to you. God said, I have pardoned according to your word. And he said to Abraham, as he was passing, he said to himself, shall we hide what we're about to do from our friend Abraham? He now turned to Abraham and said, you know where I'm going? I'm going to Sodom. I want to use my own eyes to see what's going on there. And I'm going to smoke everybody once I confirm that the Christ coming up to me spiritually is exactly a reflection of what they are doing physically. You understand that? And Abraham, after the two angels who were carrying the fire left, all right? The Lord was standing beside Abraham, waiting for Abraham to make his input. And Abraham quickly came up and began to talk. What I want to bring out here is this. Why Abraham could talk was because he was Abraham. Are you getting my point? It is not because he had the arguments. That's the point that's where we make the mistake. It's not because he had the arguments, but because it was Abraham. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. That what God respected was the person of Abraham, who he had called a righteous man. He said, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Because of the power of his righteousness, he was now able to approach God and make intercessions on behalf of other people. Do you understand? Remember the issue of blessed to be a blessing. I said something to my wife today, that I realized something while meditating over the last few days. That, see, you know, I said this before. Let me say what I said before that. Before God can do anything on the earth, you know what he does? He passes through people. Do you understand? Now, there's something I want to add to it now. God holds you accountable. Now, listen to this. For every word that you speak, let me just tell you now. No, believe me. I sat with one of my friends today, one of my colleagues, well, one of my residents. And we were talking. By the time he finished saying a lot of things about the situation of Nigeria, I gave a few examples. I told him, I refuse to believe you. You know, you hear people say things like, you know what Sanusi has come to do? It's a northern agenda. Let me tell you something. As a child of God, don't repeat such things. Those words are divisive. There's a reason. I'll come to something in a moment. All right? He tried to explain the issue to me. I said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That is the only way you understand it. I refuse to believe it. There are many more issues in life. All right? If I told him something about something he was very aware of, I said, if I wasn't me, all right, that is a good point. At least if I'm not the kind of person that I am, or the kind of person that God has made me to be, that's a better expression. That was a good point to start shouting tribalism. I said, but there are words you will never hear from some mouth. Mine, number one, tribalism. I will never accept it. No matter how glaringly you display it, I still will not accept it that I was rejected because of tribal reasons. I won't. You know the reason why? Because in my spirit, I have transcended that level. Even if you wanted to reject me on tribal reasons, you wouldn't have the power, you would not have the energy. I have overcome. Do you get my point? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I told him simply, I refuse that your argument. I refuse it. Doesn't make sense. There's a reason I'm coming to something here, all right? I'm coming to some particular stuff, and please listen to it. What happens is this, as children of God, please be careful, all right? That's what I'm trying to warn you. What God is doing is because of our faith in Christ Jesus, is this. Everything we ask him for, now listen to this, everything we ask him for, he will grant if we are close to him. I hope you're getting my point. You know what Jesus said at the tomb of Lazarus? He said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Always means every time. Always means whichever way. You know what I'm going to explain? Always. If I pray with my head down, you hear me. If I eat, I'm full, and then I pray, you hear. If I go hungry, I fast, you hear. If I pray while jogging, you hear. If I pray in my sleep, you hear. You hear me always, all the time and any way in which I pray. When I pray silently, you hear. When I pray publicly, you hear. When I pray in secret, you hear. If I shout it from the rooftop, you will hear. That's it. That's where God is taking you and I to. Now, this is the next problem, however. After that, he holds you responsible for every request you make. If you say, dear Lord, I want that building to fall down. Say, no problem. Oh yeah, guys, bring that building down. They hold you responsible for destruction of public property. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to explain. That is why he first fine-tunes you. You know, once Peter and James and co, they said, Master, wait, move. Just give the order. We bring down fire from heaven to consume these people. Ha! He said, Ye belew. You don't know the kind of spirit that you have. That is, even though you have the power, all right, you don't have to use it like that. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? See, what God teaches, that's why we have to go through his word and learn. All right? There are times that the believer will call judgment, and with God that is righteous. Elijah looked and said, yeah, enough rain. They have too much rain. It's why they are denying God. Let them go hungry small. Are you following my point? But This is the point I'm making. When you start making requests, all right, God holds you responsible for the kind of prayers that you pray. I'm telling you. And Moses, Solomon is my good example. God told Solomon, ask for anything. At the end of the day, we learned a lesson from that. That even when you're asking, God calls you based on the kind of request that you make. Because he told him that what I'm going to give you is a reward for praying a good prayer. It was not an answer to your prayer. In the book I just concluded, that's How to Work for God. All right, that one is titled, there's a portion in it. All right, I explained that there's a difference between a prayer with reward, all right, and a prayer with answer. Every prayer can get an answer, but few kinds of prayers get reward. Is that okay? So what Solomon experienced was what? A reward. All those things he experienced was a reward for the kind of prayer that he prayed. Now, I'm reading out something here. So what God is doing in your life is to bring you up to a level, all right, so that virtually anything you, I like to use the word, seriously pray about, is that all right, will come to pass. That's why, as you are increasing as a child of God, one of the first things you learn is what the Bible actually calls the will of God. The will of God is not just what does God want me to do now. That is also part of it. But the will of God is more of how does God do things. Are you getting my point? What are his principles? Do we use our power? You know, I said something then about turning your stones to bread. One of the first things as a child of God you must learn is that you must not turn your stones to bread. Let me give you what they call turning your stones to bread. You know, I was telling somebody that if on radio, because everybody listened to Pastor Banky, then I said, okay, we need money. All right, so what do? We have at least 100,000 people out there, audience. Let's command all of them to send us 1,000 naira. Now, if you get the 100,000 people to send you 1,000 naira each, then it's a lot of money. You know, it's a lot of money. How do you get them? You pray for them and threaten them. You use both of them. I have a special anointing today. Anybody who will take this 1,000 and said, I am sending it. You know, you say that. And there are those who resist the Holy Spirit. I prayed this prayer about 6 months ago. And one brother, as the Lord was speaking to him, he refused to move. The following day, his car burnt. Hallelujah. You have blessed and you have threatened. Some guys go look. If you look their car, he said, this man, peradventure, is he really catches fire? Now, I don't mean that. Look, I don't mean that to abuse anybody. In case you are listening to radio and one man has been doing it, I wasn't listening. I don't know. In Jesus' name, I don't know. Just they talk my own. Now, listen. Now, people do that. People do that. But this is the point. One of the first things you learn as a preacher is never to do that. That's what's called turning your stones to bread. So these stones, I will not turn them to bread. That is, though I have the power, I have the anointing, I have the ability, I have the opportunity. You get my point? I don't have to use it. Because even though God will allow you to use it and get results, then he judges you based upon the way you use the power that he gave to you. That's just the way life is. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. Kind of the story of Jim Baker, you'll learn some lessons from that. Now, so what am I saying about this prayer thing? So the reason why God, all right, draws you close to him, imparts righteousness into you, is so that you can pray the right prayers. You know that's where I was going to. Because without those prayers, he can't do anything. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, whatever he wants to do on the earth, what he first requires is that a man of weight. You know, I mentioned about weight last time. That those who are light, men of vanity, that a man of weight, all right, will cooperate with me and then simply utter words which are in accordance with my will. And then I do what I want to do on the earth. I said something to us last time, that's where I'm continuing from. There are the people who you are connected to because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is a heartfelt. It's difficult to sit down here and say, Lord, I'm praying for Mr. Hu Jintao, who lives in Guangzhou, all right, in China, that you will bless him. So God said, no, wahala, I will show you 20 men. Identify Hu Jintao. So you don't even know who you are praying for. Are you getting my point? And if you wanted to pray, all right, you have to have a connection. Maybe you know Hu Jintao's sister who's in Nigeria. And he says, please agree with me. I want to pray for my brother. Then, Lord, I don't know him, but I know the sister, so I'm asking a blessing for this young woman here. That's how God does things. So I'm talking about righteousness and then the effectual prayer, being that one that one is connected to. Do you understand my point? Now, so what happens is that when God wants to bless somebody, I said something earlier, let me quickly finish saying it. That's what I'm talking about Abraham. That spiritual things are in measures. As you increase with God, your measure of mercy in his presence also increases. What it means is that you cannot take of the mercy that you have with God and share with other people. And that's God's purpose. Listen, I've told you before, life is not about food and hunger. You understand my point? God passes you through things so you can out of it develop a godly and righteous character. So that when you speak, God will move. Let me tell you the truth. That's why you are praying for some things. God says, you don't understand. I'm not in a hurry. Yeah, and this blessing, take it for granted. Oh God, that's my message for this year. Take God's blessings, take them for granted. They are coming. They have their time. Are you getting my point? God said, look, Joseph, get the point. If you don't go through this pit and serve as a slave in Potiphar's house, all right, you will not be able to pray for these wicked people you call brothers. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That you will not be able to forgive them. Because Jesus taught the principle later. He said, okay, you are my people here now. Whatever you forgive, I forgive. Whatever you retain, I retain. So when Joseph forgave his brethren, God said, me too, I forgive them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, to allow the plan of God to be effective, God allowed Joseph to go through everything he went through before he stepped him up into the throne. And that way, look, Joseph alone, listen, could preserve Egypt all the days of his life. Not physically now. It's not just about ability to arrange. It's more of when they say a storm is coming. And it's going to wipe out all the fields. And Joseph will look at the lush, you know, fields that have been irrigated in Egypt. And he will close his windows and kneel down. And say, dear Lord, preserve for me this harvest. And God said, this man, what can I do? The man that didn't hold anything against his brothers. The man that refused Mrs. Potiphar because of the fear of God, not because of fear of HIV. You know, there are two different reasons why you do the right thing. You know, follow what I'm going to say. He said, the man who did all of this, he's asking for ordinary grain. He said, Michael, any demon of storm that goes near Egypt, I want to see him in seven pieces. Michael said, no problem. And I'll go and wait for all the demons. Say, who wanted to stir up that storm? Which one of you? They said, no, we change our mind. We'll go to Sudan. But because Sudan doesn't have any Joseph, with his windows closed, praying over the harvest of the land, they're in trouble. You know, I told you what religion I said. That the demons that were released into South Africa couldn't walk. This was a prophetic word. So they were deflected into Rwanda. And in a few months, 500,000 people were dead, killed by their own brethren. Cholera finished the rest. He said that was the demon, the horde of evil spirits that were heading for South Africa at the end of apartheid. The men prayed and said, not here. And the demon said, okay, what do we do? Let's release our atomic bomb. I told you before that Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I think it was Nagasaki or one of the two of them. It was not the town that they sent the pilots to. It's just that they have primary targets. And they have secondary targets. So when they got to the industrial city they were sent to, the cloud cover was so thick, the pilots couldn't see anything. So they left there. And the first industrial city they saw on the way, they dropped the bomb there. It now became Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Maybe it might have been Hiroshima and maybe Tagayaki, whatever it is. But God said, no, I'm telling you, somebody will all look. Maybe that morning, somebody, the Holy Spirit, I told you, will stir up the heart of people. God said, there was a time I did not want to destroy. Listen, people had given me cause to destroy. All right? Therefore, what did I do? I sought for a man who will stand in the hedge between me and these people and plead for mercy. That's what I was supposed to do. He said, but I didn't find. Therefore, you know what I did? I released all the wrath and anger and the vexation of my soul. I poured it upon them. And that was it. An atomic bomb arrived. Boom. Swept everybody up. I said it. Rwandans and Burundians, you should go and find out the sin their fathers committed that made intercessors scarce in their midst. Let me say something to you, all right? intercessors are made, oh my God, understand this, in the time of trouble, in the time of pain, men who have been hurt but refuse to sit down with their hurt. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, this one I'm saying, this country is better, this one is better. Be careful. A lot of times, what we are doing is throwing away our power to intercede. Money is, Satan knows what he's doing. He said, well, come, I will make you rich. You know, if you pray again, but what do you want to do with prayer? Is prayer not for food? Say, yes, care. Is it not for raiment? Yes, now. Is it not for house? Mm-hmm. Nobody to get wife and be able to take care of him. He said, yes, I will make you rich. You don't need to pray again. But if you had understood that the power of your prayer, all right, or so that, you know, you will settle down and say, banking, shaking, shaky banking in Nigeria, what do we do, what do we do? Okay, we don't know exactly what is happening. Some people say it's Northern agenda, some say Southern agenda, some say it is a European agenda. I heard that Charles Soludo, it's not Charles Soludo, it's Lamido Sanusi, right? They say he has run down to Europe to go and explain to them what's going on in Nigeria, whatever it is. Anyway, there's pandemonium everywhere. The Bible says that he's God that makes wars to cease. So a man needs to settle at home and say, God, there's a war in the banking sector. Are you getting my point? Banking can pray. Yeah, I can. You can pray. But there are a few people that God has connected their souls. The problem we have a lot of times is that, you know, sometimes, all right, there may be nobody. Why? Because all of them sold their souls. On a, you know, approve $5 billion loan, we'll give you $60 million cutback. As he takes that $60 million, God says, idiot, he can't do anything again. So when Sanusi is shouting, he'll be shouting, you go to church, brethren, we will pray. We will pray that these our banks will not collapse. And God can't hear anything. Everybody there sold his right to pray. It's called the best right for a morsel of meat valued at 75 million naira. Do you get to my point? But it's still a morsel of meat. It's still a morsel of meat. It's still a morsel of meat. So they can't talk again. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Do you know why God is raising you up and allowing you to go through everything you have gone through and give you the kind of instructions? Listen, I told you, prayer with God is not, hey, jegbe, legbe, legge, oh, quari, 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 today, oh, remove your shirt. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. If you want to do that, it's not a sin. Go ahead, do it. Is that okay? But really, what matters is the quality of person standing. Are you getting my point? And we utter simple words. Do you follow? And the whole land is spared. Abraham just said, you know, Abraham was very hesitant. He was like, dear Lord, sir, can you spare 1 minute? Any problem? Not too much. Yes. You were talking about destroying some people. Nobody so. I was just wondering. Are you getting my point? It wasn't, Lord, I command in the name of Jesus, Sodom shall not be destroyed. You know, I'm not saying it's bad though. Me too, I pray like that sometimes. Are you getting my point? That's just a reflection of the anger inside your belly. You get my point? It really is not an equivalent of the potency. It doesn't reflect the potency of your prayer. It doesn't at all. It just shows some vexation in your spirit. It's true. I hope you get what I'm saying. The potency of prayer, all right, is the person who's praying. Even if all he uttered was, Lord, no. That no, all right, the whole of heaven is resounding with his no. You see, it is not just about, praise the Lord, I prayed for food, and I got garri, not only garri, sugar day. God added salt. Hey, praise my God is good. Pepper and onion, they decide. It's not a bad thing, is it? But that's level one. It's not what the testimony right now. God is raising up so that we'll become so powerful, and then we'll begin to utter his will. Last time I talked about people you are connected to, I said, we'll pray for your friends. You pray for your family. All right? We are still teaching, all right? I believe we are all learning, all right? We'll pray for ministries. We'll pray for the body of Christ. There are times you just be somewhere and you hear something. You know, something happened today and I felt very bad again. I'll tell you two things. One to make you laugh. One, it's a serious matter. The first one is that one man in my church, one man in my office, a colleague of mine, talked to another of our colleagues. He said, I hope you are preparing for one man of God coming to your church. The guy said, I'm preparing. I hope you are preparing. He said, I'm preparing. I hope you have gathered 200,000 naira because you know when he comes, who will give 200,000? You know when you were hearing, I hope you are preparing. I hope you are praying. You think, I hope you are praying. You understand my point? I hope you are, you know, spiritually getting ready. I said, I hope you are praying. I said, how much have you gathered? Is it up to 200,000? Because when he comes, you know, the anointing, though, is 200. Ayah. And all of them Christians, me there laughing. The guy is shouting, I hope you are preparing. The one is shouting, I hope you are preparing. Two of them go to the same church. And they're expecting a man of God saying, hey, I hope you are preparing. Hi. That is, I banged the table. I said, my God, this thing is bad. We have gotten so used to it, we don't realize how terrible it is. The second one that I said to make you laugh, that one was a serious matter. This one is to make you laugh. We were watching TV yesterday. No, was it on Sunday? In my house, we were doing a documentary, kind of. They call it Witness on Al Jazeera. So, they showed some fishermen, I think it's Somalia, Ethiopia. So, they were cutting fish, you know, and stuff like that. So, someone was asking, so what happened to the fish? He said, the fresh fish goes to Europe, the rotten one goes to Nigeria. I'm not joking. My wife was so angry. Till now, she see the vex. Me, I was, I laughed. My brother, I laughed. Till now, I'm still laughing. If I'm driving, I remember it, I start laughing. Now, this is a casual fisherman, not a big tycoon, someone, just one casual fisherman beside the water. He said, the fresh fish goes to Europe. I'm giving you, as God is my witness, the words. He said, the fresh fish goes to Europe. The rotten ones, that is, those ones that are rotten on their way to destruction, they go to Nigeria. I told my wife, now you see why, what do you call this? Stockfish, they smell. It is not, it is because it is rotten fish coming to Nigeria. They go put her inside Ethiopian or Somalian sun. It go dry. Then you sell it expensive in the market. And you serve your special guest with rotten fish. I'm telling you. I saw this one on television. The man, he was just passing the comment. They were talking about, you know, emigration from those Northern African countries across the waters, in the Mediterranean to Europe. Just kind of just, the fresh fish goes to Europe. The rotten one goes to it didn't say Africa. He said Nigeria. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, what am I saying? Now that was a joke, all right? Well, it really happened, all right? But honestly, just make you laugh. But, you know, somebody feels vexed for house. I say, Lord, no more. He said, from now on, the rotten fish shall go to Europe. And the fresh ones shall come to Nigeria. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain anyway. Let me just summarize everything. This is the point. We walk with God. It's not just for the purpose of getting material blessings for ourselves, but so that we'll be highly esteemed in God's presence. That's what I was trying to explain. That we'll be highly esteemed. And what we'll now do with that opportunity, the privilege we have before God, is that we'll start making requests according to the will of God. Then we can decide that this will not happen. Because, listen, injustice, Bible says that God saw it and it displeased him. So we know that injustice is against the will of God. Therefore, we can declare that there will be electoral reforms in Nigeria. Because no matter what you say, injustice is against the will of God. Do you understand my point? Prosperity is the will of God. It's only when men have sinned. And let me tell you something about sin. When we sin, God judges reluctantly. That's why before he judges, he looks around. Will anybody pray? That's the attitude. I want to kill somebody who go pray. And sometimes it's spiritual things. And so there's a fight. There are people who are condemning. And sometimes we do it as believers in a good way. Sometimes even in a bad way. Me, I know they too condemn myself now. What I mean is that if the cause looks like I should condemn, I will condemn. If you have somebody pleading mercy on your behalf, God help you. If you don't have, you're on your own. If you're a kidnapper, are you getting my point? When I'm remembering you, I always put a small clause. I say, God, unless he repents in these 24 hours, I always put it so I won't be like a wicked soul. The truth is that God knows I'm just adding that one so that I won't like I'm wicked. But I think you're a very cruel person. If you kidnap an adult and you do like they did to Peter Doche, I say, sorry, sir, I hope you're not angry we kidnapped you. It's just small money we want to collect. We won't touch you. Peter Doche said they treated him very well. I feel not pray about you. But you kidnap a 7-month-old baby. You're a dead man. You're a dead man. I was talking to a senior brother the other day. He said when he heard that thing, he prayed against those people. That he heard that some kidnappers some days later, by a week or two later, were trying to kidnap somewhere around the particular place and they were killed. And in his heart, he knew it was those people that he was praying against. Are you getting what I'm saying? God, he doesn't like to judge. What he does, he looks around, but there's people that are so wicked. They're so wicked. Even their mother is not praying for them. They are so wicked. Even their mother has stopped praying. And those kind of people, God, you all quickly finish them. Because listen, except somebody is pleading for mercy, it's hard. No matter how God desires to save, it is difficult. Are you getting my point? Therefore, I want to explain something to us again. That's why I taught this message, a continuation of what we said last time. This is your assignment, to plead God's mercy upon all that you love, upon everyone who's connected to you. I hope you are getting my point. Upon your nation, upon the things that matter to you. A lot of us here are in school, and you hear of ASU strike, ASU riot. Sorry, ASU not the riot. Now they strike, Abby. And the thing is disturbing, you know, education. There are different ways to respond. You can respond and say, this country is useless. In fact, if God just opens the door, I'm going to University of Liverpool to go and complete my first degree. Rubbish country. Nonsense country. God, you talk. God, you're obvious. You don't mind this guy self. You jump to somebody else. They will say, our country doesn't have to be like this. Are you getting my point? Our country doesn't have to be like this. And the fellow kneels down at home. And that's the last point I wanted to make. Oh God, my time is gone. But before I leave, it's very important. And that's the issue of how we pray. The problem we have a lot as Christians is that our words are too plenty. When the Bible commanded our words should be few. Our words are too plenty. Oh thou goddess, sorry, you call all kinds of names. The goddess that dwellest in lightest, inapproachablest. Yeah. We speak too many words. We use all kinds of words. We come to thee today as thy feet is stretching from heaven down to the earth. As it is written. You speak. God say, now, wow. I know today will not be prayer session. I know. You understand? You came to ask for something. You understand? You came to ask for something. What is it? If you know what it is, please state it simply. If you don't know, you can lie down there and be groaning. It's all right. The Holy Spirit can use your groan. But if you know what it is, and the words don't have to be hard. Simple prayer. Dear Lord, there's been a disruption in our educational system because of this ASU strike. As a consequence of the disagreement between the ASU executive and the federal government, you are the God who makes words cease. I ask in the name of Jesus that you bring this conflict to an end in the name of Jesus Christ. We desire to return back to school. We desire a regular academic calendar. We desire this. Therefore, we ask in the name of Jesus, grant it. Let words cease. Simple words. 2, 3, 4 lines, and you're through. Next day, you want to pray again. Father, I thank you because you are the God that makes. People say that it's a prayer of faith, so you don't have to repeat it. Well, prayer of intercession, no, it doesn't work like that. You identify your prayer and you keep on saying it. It's like a war. Do you understand my point? The realm of the spirit. Okay? You stay there until the angel comes and says, the first day you prayed, we heard. Are you getting what I'm saying? And they were brought an answer. That's how people pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? spend most of your time giving God thanks. Spend most of your time worshiping. Do you understand what I mean? If you have a specific request, it doesn't, you know, sometimes we feel like we have not prayed until we have showed God we are angry. Lord, look at my face. See? Yeah. It doesn't. I hope you're getting my point. The problem we have is that we have learnt our prayers by rote, that is, by copying. You know, one of my friends told me about when I was seven. I had this guy, I used to call him pastor. So he had a friend. They used to go to, I think, CAC in their school. No, in their home. So when they're in school, and they don't have a prayer meeting. Once you raise the prayer, the guy, he says the same thing all the time. Baka, bakaka, baka, bakaka, wah, wah, wah. The guy used to pray. And the guy is in fellowship. Those who don't know, you think he's a serious person. He just, when he goes to church at home, and those kinds of things, so he don't cram one phrase from inside it. It sounds funny, but a lot of us do it. We just copy the kind of prayers we heard other people pray. Not realize that it doesn't have to be like that. Sometimes people pray out of the vexation of their soul, and it happens. You know what I mean? It is not the vexation, the thing you are seeing that is making the person effective. It's because of the focus, his faith or her faith that has now placed upon the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they will now want to pray next time. So we'll now repeat, all right, all that habit of vexation, even when we are not that vexed. What have I emphasized today? The simplicity of the words, but most importantly, from the righteous man, a righteous woman, that is uttering words in God's presence. How do I attain righteousness? A close walk with God and making the right choices, all right, as God places a demand upon my life. And then, prayer is simple. In fact, I thought I would get there today, but I spent so much time talking, I have to stop. Because I mentioned about it, and I think it was finally a few days ago. I've been thinking about this for years, for a long time. Finally, a few days ago, it began to congeal how Jesus used to pray all night. I don't think it wasn't as difficult, okay, as I used to think. It was just because of the weight of things that God had placed upon his heart. Do you get my point? Therefore, when he will rise, there were so many things that were going to happen, both immediately and much later. And as the Holy Spirit, because you see, these things are, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to him. He will have a vision, I believe, about something that is about to go wrong. You understand what I mean? And he'll begin to implore God like red, like Moses, and say, no, Lord, this will not happen. I ask, and what I want to emphasize is that it's not the plenty words, it's the person talking. You're getting my logic, all right? You begin to ask God like Abraham for that particular situation. You'll be asking God like these people that we have seen, like Daniel, and God will, because of him. What the Bible said, God actually, Jesus became, like I read there, is that he ever lives to make intercession. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what he ever lives to do. Let me say something to you. Anything that concerns you enough to talk about, then please don't just talk, pray about. Let me say this to you. You are an important person, no? You are what? You are an important person. That's what children of God are. That's what it means to be a priest of God. So we make prayers, all right? So what used to happen, Jesus, each time something will come up, the Holy Spirit will reveal to him, or he will just know in his soul, tomorrow they are going to come with headaches. And it's an important person. God, it is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When God is pleased with you, he answers your prayers. So he will say, Lord, as a woman with headache comes tomorrow, let her be healed. As the woman with the issue of blood touches my garment, fill me with the anointing that she might be healed. As that dead son is being carried away, Lord, let... I was reading about Elijah. Elisha simply asked the Lord, Lord, let this boy's spirit return back to his body. And that's how the boy was healed. Are you getting my point? So he will ask the Lord, look, let this boy's body return... Look, he is fully prayed up. Next day, the guy, the boy's corpse passed. He said, nobody, that boy was seeing for vision yesterday. Come. He knew already. Yeah, you get my point? So just say, wake up. And the boy, you know, as soon as he's touched, all the prayers prayed earlier are activated. The power is released. Yeah, you get my point? The power is immediately released into his life. And then the boy is healed. I discovered that's how he used to pray, that everything that concerns him, as God reveals it to him, he utters a word about it. And almost all of them, I believe, the prayers of intercession. Praying, making requests for somebody. Do you understand my point? So you have a brother, you have a friend, you have a sister. We'll come back to the issue of our nation later. But let's just settle in so that we don't have too many things on our minds, all right? As we are learning and doing these things. You have a brother, you have a sister, you have a parent, you have a cousin. You have somebody, all right, whose heart or whose has a situation in life. They don't know God. There's something about the prayer of intercession. Let me just say this. This is not supposed to discourage you, all right? It's not supposed to be discouraging. Prayer has measures. There are times that people pray and God will just say for certain reasons that, sorry, I can't do this one. You know that. You know that. But, this is the point, but you won't have, even have the privilege of being denied if you never asked. And most things you'll have prayed about, in my opinion, at least 95%, it would have. Because why I said that God said, this one I can't do. He said, if you see a brother sinning a sin that's unto death, I'm not asking you to make prayers for that one. Because even if you did, the Lord would not be able to answer you. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was a time Moses said to God, if you will not go with us, you will not save this book, blot my name out of the book of life. God said, Clear, my friend. He that sins against me, I will blot his name out. Which kind of righteousness did you practice? Take your time. That's what God told him in effect. He said, my Moses, relax. Is the person that sins against me, that I blot his name, the soul that perish, the soul that sins, is the one that perishes, not the righteous man trying to save him. Get up, leave the place. All right? Okay, don't worry, I will spare them. But then, your prayer can't cover this side. There are times God says that the sin of this man cannot be atoned for, either by sacrifice or forever. So people make intercessions, and at such times, you know, God may say, no, I can't do something. But I don't want to be discouraged by that. Your job is to do what? Constantly. All right? You pray for somebody, and the person eventually did not get saved, like we say. Shouldn't discourage you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But then what do? You constantly. Now I understand why Paul said, Jesus was speaking. He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because events of life, they are plenty. Are you getting what I'm saying? Events of life, they are plenty. It doesn't have to be, okay, now it's prayer time. Prayer times are good. But like I say, as the matter comes up, because those are your words, they are the weapons that God will use, all right, to restore things on the earth. That's why your righteousness and my righteousness, they are so important as far as God is concerned. We think, oh God, God will deliver us from it. We think that righteousness is so that I might be blessed. No. One of the things that God does for his people is first take their attention away from themselves. So in fact, in my opinion, why God gave us the message of faith, which we learned over those years, was to take our attentions away from ourselves. Are you getting my point? And that, look, relax, you are taken care of. Now let's do serious things. Sometimes we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't fear any evil because the Lord is with us. But what do we experience at such times? We come out triumphant. We come out having attained a higher level of being pleasing to God. So that we can handle things that are more powerful. We are all children of God. We are many, all right? Each person has his own world, all right? That God says, speak and things will be done. But there are those, it's interesting to say this, there are those that God has commanded to declare concerning nations. Are you getting my point? Yes. I was going to Rabbi Zacharias again today. He said there's no true, he was quoting somebody, that there's no true mass movement. That if you go and check, the center of every mass movement is one single person. He says, so the cause of Christ moves forward as individuals move forward. Are you getting my point? You will increase in life. That here, amen. The time will come that you know, there are kingmakers in every state. This one will be the next governor. This one will be the next senator from this senatorial district. Well, there are two levels. There are outward people. They are spiritual people. Whether they are outward or spiritual, but one thing I know is that a lot of those people are only in power because you have not yet reached the position of maturity. You are yet a child. You don't even know what's called politics. How much more to decide anything? Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I've spent all the time today talking, but I hope you've learned something. If you have, say amen.
Amen.
Make me feel happy. Say another amen.
Amen.
But I don't want to keep us for too long. Oh, no, don't worry. We'll continue next time, and then we'll take a lot of time to pray. Let's just take a minute or two. Please, just pray a minute or two for me. Can you just rise to your feet? First of all, just for a minute, for 30 seconds, just give the Lord thanks. Like I said, just thank God that you are an important person before Him. Thank Him for the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank Him for that. Very important, because that's a basis. That's a foundation for what we are experiencing. So, Lord, I thank you. Thank Him for the sacrifice of Jesus. I just feel like telling some people, don't think that, yes, I was a sinner. Look, that's why Jesus came. Lord, everybody, listen to this. Listen to this. I think I should correct some people, all right? Don't think I was a sinner. I've not done anything for God and all of that. That's not, please, don't misunderstand me. The reason why Jesus came was so that your past might be wiped away. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, bear that in mind. So you have enough to thank God for. Is that all right? I'm just encouraging that as you are walking with God, remember that you are moving up to higher heights every day. Is that all right? Okay, so let's just keep continuing giving the Lord thanks. That was so important that I pointed out. I say, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because Jesus died for me and I'm a righteous person in Christ Jesus. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I am of faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the righteousness of God is in me. I am of faith in Christ Jesus. Let's just give the Lord thanks for that. And again, let's take, like we did last time, I wanted to take one person or two people. Okay, let's make it two now. Or a particular situation in your life, in your family. When I say your life now, people that you know. You're not praying by yourself now. You're praying for people that you know. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. All right? A family member, a cousin, a friend. All right? A bosom friend, a church member, a childhood friend. Somebody you grew up in faith together. And you know issues in their life. For example, maybe if I say this... It sounds funny, but the fellow is going to one funny church, all they do is chase the devil around. And you know that's not right. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give unto my friend the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let him understand his victory in Christ Jesus. I ask, Father God, that you draw him to settle down so as to know truth, that he might discover what you have done for him already in Christ Jesus. I ask in the name of Jesus. Grant him understanding, grant him knowledge, deliver him from his confusion. There are those you know, where they go every day is one Babalawo's house, one DBS house, one White Garment Church, one place where they are doing sacrifices. And you know that's not the way of truth. Say, Lord, give my friend, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my cousin, my whatever it is, my auntie. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for him. Mention the person by name. Just under your breath there. In simple words, say, Lord, I ask. Give them understanding. Deliver them from confusion. Say, Lord, by the authority that is in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of confusion in their lives. Say, Lord, draw them to light. Draw them to truth. I ask, Father God, that you break through their darkness with your light. You break through their confusion with your understanding. Mention somebody who is sick and the doctor said the person will die. If you will ask... If you will ask, God, because he said, I have pardoned according to your word. I have given life according to your word. I have given healing according to your word. That's what he wants to say. I remember a patient of mine while I was serving. I went to my house and said, no, not in my hospital. Just my jurisdiction was my issue. I said, not in this hospital. Next day, the woman began to get well. The devil that wanted to kill her had to remove her from my hospital while I was not watching, that she might die elsewhere. I remember different situations in which my sister or a friend's child have been called, and suddenly, you know, the prayer would just grip my soul. And in the name of Jesus, I will intercede. Sometimes so fervent am I in the spirit. I pray in the spirit. And then next, the testimony I hear next day is that, oh, at this particular point in time, this happened. That is, God pardons according to your word. God gives life. I like the testimony Kenny Higgins gave. He said he knew in himself that this wife he has married, though, she won't live long. Why he knew, he doesn't know. He just knew. And then one day he had a vision of the Lord and he asked simply, Lord, I don't want my wife to die early. I want her to live long. I want her to live into her old age and be my wife for a long time. And the Lord says, simply because you have asked, I will do it for you. And the woman died about 2 or 3 years after he died. He was 80-something when he finally passed on. And she was also was 80-something when she finally passed on a few years ago. So make a simple request. Just say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you for this person. Heal him totally. I ask for this fellow. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my friend. This is my father. This is my mother. The fellow is in hospital. I just feel like doing something. I don't know. Can you just turn to somebody beside you? Just join hands with one person. Just one person. Two hands. Join two hands. Just join two hands. One person. One person. Bible says, the two of you shall agree as touching anything. Just whisper to the person, I want you to, you don't have to give too many details. Just say, I want to pray for my sister. I want to pray for my brother. I just want to agree. So I give you 45 seconds for the first person's prayer point and 45 seconds for the second person's prayer point. So just tell the person just a simple thing. I'm praying for my sister that she might be healed. I'm praying for my father that he might be saved. And tell the person, my name is John. My name is Andrew. So you might say, I'm Andrew's father. Well, you know what it is. All right, now begin to pray. You have 45 seconds, simple words, not difficult words. Just say, this is what I want. I want my sister to gain admission. All right? She has failed WASC a number of times. She's taking an exam now. I want her to pass. I want her to have understanding. So just in simple words. You are taking the first person's prayer point. After that, you go to the second person. So let's just take for 45 seconds. We have a few seconds to go. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you because we have agreed and you have answered. Now, let's take the second prayer point. The second person, tell the person their own prayer point and two of you will agree. Bible says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything that we shall ask. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because you have heard us. In agreement, we have come before your throne and we ask that your power be released into all these situations in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's declare upon our Nigeria, upon our country, just say goodness and mercy will flow in this land in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak upon this land. We speak to this land, Nigeria. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. We call good governance to be in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke confusion in politics in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll just make a short prayer and I want to say amen. Father, everyone who is aspiring for high posts for personal gain and not primarily for national and state and local development, Lord, let their plans be frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, no matter how powerful they are, take that power, take that money away from them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, disgrace them so that they will not be able to speak publicly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, everyone who will have the desire for progress, who will use the office you will give him or her for progress in this nation, give them those opportunities in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even though they be small, Lord, like David, gather around them strong men that will help bring them to that highly exalted position in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, as one is meditating his heart, who you have called into political office, and saying, if I were given this opportunity, this is what I would do. And it's in line, Lord, with your plan for this nation. Your plan for justice, your plan for progress, your plan for prosperity, your plan for establishing righteousness in every field. Lord, we ask for that person, even though we don't know him by name, but you know him by name. We say, Lord, let your power move him into that office you have prepared him for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It may not be in a big political party today. It may not have much. But Lord, you can do anything. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. He brings down one and elevates another. Lord, elevate righteous men in this land in the name of Jesus Christ. All evil men, Lord, who have tabernacled in certain positions and therefore have constituted themselves into obstructions to progress, the time for judgment has come. Uproot them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We speak against their fortresses. Be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We speak against their strengths. Become weak in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
even though they be as big as Goliath, yet the small stone from the anointed one, David, will bring them crashing down in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, when their judgments are upon the earth, O God, the inhabitants thereof they learn righteousness. Cause us to learn righteousness, Lord, in this nation, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you because you are so good. You are our fortress, you are our help. You are the place of our hiding. You are our defense. You are our security. You are our provider. In you we live. In you we move. In you we have our very existence. Lord, we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bless, Lord, everybody present here. I declare the Lord bless you and keep you. I declare that the Lord will bless you continually and keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Lord will be gracious unto you and make your path straight in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren. The word works.